Love a rugby league same game multi? Then you've got to check out Picklebet same game multi. Watch your odds and payouts skyrocket when you combine your favorite team's markets, like head-to-head, first try scorer, and winning margin. Picklebet, the next-gen betting app and official sponsor of the NRL All-Stars podcast.
What are you really gambling with?
For free and confidential support, call 1-800-858-858 or visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
You'll never know if you don't go. You'll never shine if you don't glow. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid.
And all that glitters is gold.
Only shooting stars break the mold.
Welcome to another episode of the NRL All-Stars Podcast. Barnsley here for the Supercoach episode of the week, Supercoach TLT Round 4. Also known as Carnage Week. I think it is the worst week that I remember in Supercoach history, and that's not exaggerating. It is crazy the amount of injuries and the ones that kept on coming. For this episode, we have Mikey back, Mikey from the SC Experience podcast show. Welcome aboard, Mikey. You did a preview with us in the preseason and you're jumping on for a TLT, so appreciate you jumping on.
Hey, Barnsley, always good to jump on and talk some Supercoach. And yeah, after getting another preseason call up, it's nice to do one in the regular season because I haven't been able to do the TLT ones with my podcast. So nice to talk post TLT.
Awesome, mate. Well, we'll get you on for some other TLTs like we're talking about. But certainly all the listeners, jump on the SC Experience because those boys are great and they've got a couple of shows every week that you can jump on with them. Fantastic show. But for this one, there's a lot of things to focus on, Mikey. I feel like there is a lot of strategy that we need to talk about. So we're going to talk about that with the amount of injuries that there are and go through some of the injuries. We're going to go through Market Watch and we're going to go through a machine gun rapid TLT as well. But before we do that, everyone would have heard the betting partner of the All-Stars podcast in Picklebet at the start of the podcast, that the ad spruiks the same game multis. Picklebet do have a special this week that I need to tell you about where you get up to $50 back for any three-plus same-game multi if one leg fails on the NRL. So that's gold. You can go for two anytime try scorers and the match winner, and if one of them doesn't come through, you'll get it back up to $50 in bonus bets. So pretty nice one there. And even if you don't like those same-game multis, geez, Piggle's got some odds this week, I tell you what. Mikey's not going to like this one, but the Roosters were $1.67, and oh, I love that against Penrith with the outs. Are you confident with the outs? You know, would you back against your own team?
I'm not confident. In my tipping comp, I'm most likely leaning towards the Roosters, but I'm on the other side of the coin here. I kind of like the value for the Panthers because they've just got this next man up mentality, and I think, which we'll talk about, Snyder and Mav Gaia. I think they're the two perfect replacements for the injury. So I'm hoping for big games from both of them, but I'm definitely nervous heading to your guys' home. I think it's still hopefully be a cracker of a game, and now we can pull off an upset. We don't get a chance to be the underdogs much.
Well, there's certainly some value there, almost $2.30 on Figgle. But the second one, I'll just say, I can't believe the Cowboys are $1.76 versus the Broncos. Like, I know these games are tight, but they got Reynolds back. But get on $1.76. Sign up to Picklebet. Make sure that you use the affiliate code ALLSTARS. That way they'll know that you came from this podcast and take great care of you. But great racing on there as well. Great other sports. I mean, the NBA, the same game multis on the NBA are awesome. So jump on picklebet.com and check them out. Certainly always remember to gamble responsibly. Think it is a bet that you really want to place for gambling help. You can go to gamblinghelponline.org.au or call 1-800-858-858. Now, Mikey, the strategy part of this conversation is going to be all about the injuries. And I just can't believe, like, I'm just going to read out some names here. Sorensen, 4 weeks. Cleary, 2 to 4 weeks. Mitchell Moses, 8 to 10 weeks. Smith for the Roosters, 4 weeks. Tino's gone for the season. Huss and Walsh for the Broncos both got a month off. Cartwright was named, but he's meant to be off up to 6 weeks. Lindsay Collins is gone for the Roosters for a few weeks at least. Cotter, ankle sprain, but he's been named, but he was in a moon boot before. Does he play? Murray was hurt at training, but he's named. Peter Kira, we've been told by the Broncos website that he's got 4 weeks of rehabilitation ahead of him. And then you get all this stuff, and there's a few others even as well. You get all this stuff, and then it's like late today. I don't know if anyone saw this, but Albert Hoppardi didn't get named for the Raiders because he burnt his arm while he was cooking his dinner last night. Could it get any crazier than that?
I didn't realize that happened. It's pretty crazy. And, well, I haven't seen a round this heavily, like, especially like the players that have gone down are so super coach relevant that, kind of feels like a buy round almost, or it's really testing your depth very early in the season. So I guess this might be a week where the cream may rise to the crop with the guys that are stacking a lot of, you know, players that aren't playing.
Yeah, definitely. And look, I think that that's a really good point to start off with when we're talking strategy on how you manage all these injuries in your trades for this week. Because, you know, certainly I think it has to be said, like, every team's a little bit different. Some teams might be largely unaffected, but for the most part, I think every team's trades are going to be slightly different than what they were. I think that a lot of people need to look at it as an opportunity. This is an opportunity week for me personally. I think that it is crazy how some of these teams were built. You see some of the teams in the top 50, top 100, top 500 and stuff, and they've got like five nuffs in them. They don't have much depth at all. You can see they've just built a really strong 17, some of these teams, and nothing else really. Some of them 18-man teams. And some of these teams, they are going to struggle to, even with the boost, to field 17. And other ones will field 17, but they will probably have a couple of real weak ones in there. So this is the sort of week where you can really rise up the rankings. And I think that's what, for me personally, my strategy is I'm going to be aggressive this week. I want to get points in because that's going to be luxury trades that I think half of the Supercoach teams won't be able to afford to do. They'll have to make specific fixes. And especially when you've got specific positions, right? Like if you have Tino in front row forward and you have to fix that and you have to fix your halfback spot, you're really pretty hamstrung because you have to trade in those two positions. Like you might have been deciding that you were going to trade at hooker and that you were going to get two gun center wings in. And if that was your plan, you can't do it anymore because you've just been absolutely ruined at front row forward and at halfback. There's teams that are going to be in that boat. So to me, I think that it's a real luxury if your team can actually go aggressive and get points in at the best spots without, you know, having to probably be forced to make trades that you didn't want to have to make. So certainly for me, I reckon that the first bit of strategy, Mike, is some of these teams that are especially down in the rankings, and I know that I am, I'm looking at it to be real aggressive and get points in. And that might mean that you let some dollars go by with some money makers. But if you set your team up well enough, that shouldn't matter too much. So I'm very much of an aggressive get points in mindset for this week.
Yeah, I agree with you. Oh, there's so many good options this week. And at the start of the week, I kind of had a plan. When Cleary went down, it changed my plans. I actually don't own Cleary. So as much as it, like, it's hard because it hurts so much as a Panthers fan, but as a non-Cleary owner that was scrambling to get him this week, it kind of lets me be able to fix another position instead of doing maybe a sideways trade to get Cleary. So I'll kind of agree with you. Like, there's so many. I wish we had, like, six or seven trades this week. I think instead of going for some of these guys like Cameron Young, who I'm super keen on, I think I've got to prioritize on fixing up another position just to kind of overall round my side. Like, I'm doing so bad in the rankings, but I'm starting to get a pretty well-rounded side where I think it's only a matter of time till I start my good old-fashioned comeback that I seem to always do. So, yeah, kind of like you, I don't know if I'm playing aggressive as you, but more so fixing a position that I didn't think I was going to be able to fix for a bit.
And that's another really good strategy too. So certainly if you're a team that is a little bit unaffected by the injuries and certainly in a better spot than some other super coaches, fix your team is a really good strategic opportunity now. And front row forward's a big one. Like Poasa Famasuali, he's not even named this week. You know, he's a dud. It's a chance to get him out. If your front row forward isn't working for you, that's a chance to get someone else in there and use some money from perhaps a Cleary or someone else to be able to fix that up. So I like the fixing a position up as well if your team is in a really good spot to have a strong 17. We're talking about having a strong 17. There's going to be some teams, though, Mikey, that are in the opposite boat as well, and they're going to need to strategize a little bit differently. So certainly there's going to be teams that are absolutely decimated. And I think that if teams are decimated and their 17 looks really bad or they don't even have 17, I don't think those teams can afford to go cash cow heavy. I don't think they can afford to prioritize the cash generation. I think that those teams, a lot of them will still, and they'll fall behind. And I'm seeing a lot of trades where they're still doing like two cash generation trades and one points trade. And even some that are just going, you know, I'm not going to change my strategy much. I'm just going to play with a week 17 this week. I'm going for three cash gens. You know, they might be getting a Fainu in from the Tigers, a Galvin in from the Tigers, and there's some other ones as well, even a Bostock if they didn't own them and stuff like that. I'm seeing that a little bit as well. And I don't think those teams can afford it. I think those teams need to get the strategy on board that you have to let cash cows go, maybe get one in, but two in to shore up your 17, because I think there's going to be a lot of teams with a weak 17 this round.
Yeah, I think if you're going to target a cash cow, like I think Hammer and Young are two very good examples. If you believe that they're going to be a keeper in that position or someone that you plan on having for a while and you really like their draw, then I can kind of get around that, because I think it's almost a point and also a way you can make a bit of money. But example, if you're really struggling this week, like maybe Kai Pierce-Paul, although he looks really good, might be a guy that you can kind of pass. But see, there is so many good options this week. Personally, myself, with mine, I'm also kind of looking at it as, while everyone else has all these emergencies, I can kind of use this week to get rid of some bums like Levi, who is going to drop all the cash he's made, and another one in Ben Trbojevic, who without these attacking stats, his work rate's just pathetic. He's scoring 20s. So I'm going to take the 30K he made and run, get him down to a bottom dollar option, and then make moves to upgrade elsewhere, just because I feel like that could be another strategy, one way to kind of get ahead, in a sense where Ben Trbojevic could be a guy that you're just really going to struggle to get rid of, especially if you flipped him up into your second row. So I'm kind of using this week to navigate through that as well, which kind of makes me feel better about my trades.
Yeah, and the other thing too with it, and I like a couple, one guy that you mentioned was Hammer, and I'm super keen on him. Like, there's, if you're worried about, like, if you're going to bank like $500,000 and get these cash cows in and do trades next week, just, I think that you need to look at some of these cash opportunities in a different way. Cash opportunity and cash generation doesn't have to come from a bottom to mid dollar guy. Like, if you look at someone like Hammer, he's 600K, which is expensive, but not terribly expensive. But teams have got money to throw around. So instead of banking 500K, spend it on someone like Hammer instead of, say, a Fainu from the Tigers. You will probably get the same cash generation out of that trade anyway. And the money in the bank doesn't get you points. So why don't you just get the points and the money? And I think sometimes we do get hung up on, as a strategy, oh, we've got to get the cash cow with the big negative break even. But we don't really work out in our head, hang on, I do need points, and there are these point scorers like Hammer, for example, that will probably make the same amount of money over the next few weeks anyway.
Yeah, 100%.
So a few different options for people to do. I will say as well, there is a question about, do you have to trade an injured guy out? And this is a real common strategy where sometimes it's the right move, I think, and sometimes it's maybe the wrong move, where teams go, you know what, I'm just going to leave this injured guy there for a week because he's not going to lose me any money and my team's deep enough, and I'm going to do these other trades that I wanted to make instead. I can always trade him next week. Someone like Nathan Cleary is a really good example. Mikey, if you've got Nathan Cleary and your team's in a really good spot, you can do these other trades and you could hold Nathan Cleary, because there's even talk that there's a slight chance, the slightest chance, he could be back next week. But I mean, if you're a team that's strong enough to be able to hold him, you may as well do that. And that's one where it works. Other guys where I'm not sure it does, like if you've got like a Mitchell Moses, it doesn't work quite as much, because there's never going to be a payoff to that by holding him. He has got no chance of coming back next week. You can't hold him for a couple of weeks and expect him back even. He's going to be gone for long term. And I just think that's too much money to hold there. But certainly if teams have other priorities, like you wouldn't want to have to cop an AE if you don't need to. If a guy's not playing, it doesn't mean you've got to trade him this week.
Yeah, I agree with you. And going back to Cleary, I think the big thing with him is, if you're going to hold, I actually think he'll come back after the Tigers game. I think it'll be longer, and it'll be also dependent on how they go. This happened last year when he was out. They actually strung together a couple of wins without him. So they didn't have to rush him in as much. And the priority will be keeping him 100% or as fit as he possibly can. This is the second time it might even be the third time he's done a hamstring injury. So they're very common and reoccurring injuries. So I think they'll be a little bit cautious. And I don't think Penrith are going to look as bad as what some people might. And I guess the different thing with Cleary this year is, A, I think the best option you could possibly go to is Jerome Hughes. He's on the bye. And then the second thing on top of that is, halfback has been pretty disappointing to start the year. If you didn't own Nicho Hynes, maybe you could throw the dice for a comeback, but his break-even's still pretty high. So that's what would make me more tempted to hold Cleary. As long as I don't have someone like Hutro starting, I think it's, you know, hold, where I think most other years where, you know, there's a lot of competitive top-shelf guys, I'd be more likely to sell and then bring back. And then when you look to bring back, let him have a week before he comes back, especially with a hamstring injury. I know I don't have him, and I'll be targeting him a week after when he comes back. I just want to make sure no re-injury happens.
Yeah, and you've like one of the things with Penrith, and you'll know this as a Penrith supporter, they are always a little bit on the coy side with injury information. Like they don't want to quite give it all away. So you're right. Like it might end up being a little bit longer than expected, but they might just be cautious. And they're not a team that's going to struggle. So you're 100% hitting the nail on the head there. And the other thing that can happen is he comes back and you got old mate Dane Laurie sitting on the bench. And, you know, 48 minutes in, he comes on and replaces Cleary. I mean, that happened to Luai a couple of times last year when Luai, you know, had his bung shoulder and stuff, and he'd get replaced 50 minutes in, 60 minutes in and stuff. Like you could see them doing that to Cleary for sure. So there is some risk in holding him to wait and see, but you can always trade him next week. Like if you've got like five people to trade, Cleary's probably someone that you can just wait a week and use all the other money from the other guys that you got. But that comes to the last point, Mikey. You do need to look ahead still. You know, you can't just go, oh, there's all this carnage and get overwhelmed by it in Supercoach and make trades for this week only. You got to look ahead because in all likelihood, Mikey, we're going to get injuries again this week. We're going to get suspensions again this week. And, you know, you're just, you're building yourself for one as a 1 week team when next week you could be in the same problem. You burn through a boost that you don't need to, or you have a really weak 17 next week as well. So I think teams really do need to make sure they're not just planning for the 1 week just to scramble to get 17.
Yeah, exactly. And the fact that we also have HIA to deal with now makes it even harder. There's just so many ways you could be missing players. So, you know, we might sound like a broken record, but depth is so key. And even early, it's why we start with as many guys that are playing as possible. And chuck in now the fact that this is only the second year back since we have a bye each week. There's just so many ways you're missing guys. So you've got to really got to plan ahead, and you've got to kind of make sure the guys you're bringing in, you're not stacking up on too many from one side that have got a bye coming up. So, you've always got to be 1 to 2 steps ahead. Otherwise, you're just going to continue to sink down the ranks or start to sink down the ranks.
And the Storm have the bye this week, which is not handy because a lot of people have Harry Grant in their side. A lot of people have Papp in their side and they have to contend with all these injuries as well. So I think I've only got Chan from the Storm. I do. So I'm pretty happy days. But there's other teams that are really in pain with the bye. Look, let's talk about Market Watch. Let's go to it. So before we move along, we need to take a quick break to introduce you to a brand new partner of the NRL All-Stars podcast, Bonus Bank. You can go to www.bonusbank.com.au today to check them out, sign up for free, or go straight to a paid plan to access all the different benefits that Bonus Bank has. But basically, Bonus Bank is Australia's number one match betting website. So it's not gambling. It provides a profitable side hustle for anyone who likes their betting by taking advantage of promotions and bonus bets that you can make, giving you a risk-free tax-free income every week. So Bonus Bank has software and calculators that do all the work for you. It's semi-automated and it compares over 90 bookies across Australia as well to give you information on all in one place. It's also got its own app that you can do it on. It's also got several other features like betting and bonus calculators, tutorials and free education on how to make money from the bookies, Australia's biggest match betting Discord community you get to join as well, odds match software, full customer support, and a whole heap more. There's so many benefits, it's crazy. So if you want to compare offers and promos all in one place across bookies and learn how to make some extra income through the bookies in Australia, then Bonus Bank is well worth a try. Go and sign up today with a range of their plans. You can go completely free just to trial them, or you can go straight to a paid membership, and the different membership tiers will give you a whole heap of different features that are well worth it because, look, you get the money back anyway with the profits that you'll probably make. So sign up by referencing All-Stars as your code on the site and you'll get a special sign-up offer as well for a membership today. Bonusbank.com.au. Go get in there. Australia's number one side hustle for anyone who likes their betting. Market Watch. We're going to do it a bit differently this week, Mikey. We're going to go the trade-out guys that are injured and we're going to talk about the best options for them for the trade-ins. Nathan Cleary, number one most traded player. Not surprising because of his ownership. I would trade, you know, Walsh, Tino, Payne. I would trade some of these other guys before I traded Cleary, but Cleary's a fine trade out as well. I don't think there's many options. Like, it's quite crazy that some people have been trading out Nicho Hynes because, to me, I know Hynes hasn't been going that well. The Sharks were abysmal against the Tigers on the weekend. But, look, he's going to come good, and I just can't believe in a week, you know, where we've got all these people going down, people are actually looking at trading Hines as well. You know, there is teams I've seen doing that. But if I was going to trade Cleary, I'd want it to be to Hines, to be honest. And it's a bit hard to do that at the moment. So do you burn two trades at that spot? You know, do you go for a stepping stone to Hines for a couple of weeks until you're satisfied with Hines? Or do you just go to Hines straight away? I think that those are a couple of key questions. For me, I'm actually going to go to Sam Walker. And that's a little bit of a Roosters tip there, which I'm sure a few people will call me out on. But I looked at it and went, look, I think Luke Brooks is the other big contender, obviously. Brooks is a fine trade-in. I actually looked at him and went, oh, he must have a really good break-even, because I thought that it might have gone away a little bit, but all these people are trading him in. And when I looked at it, it was a 45. I know he's playing the Dragons, but he's playing the Panthers the week after, and then he's playing the Warriors over in New Zealand. It's a good week this week against the Dragons, but the next two after that aren't great. I spoke last week, Mikey, about his base. It's only 22. He doesn't have any sort of goal kicking to help with that 22 base. I know he came close last week, but he didn't score still. He's gone 53, 80, and 59. I think he's been good in real life, but his base has been between 20 and 24. Like, he's a bee's dick away from throwing up a 28-point game. Probably not this week against the Dragons, but when you're looking weeks ahead, the Panthers in round five, he could possibly, and certainly the Warriors after that. So I don't love Brooks as much as other people do as a buy, because he's 585,000, and I think that he's got those lower scores in him. Walker, you know, obviously does have low scores in him as well. But I think, you know, on the weekend, he only scored the 56, which I've seen some people point out. He only played the 47 minutes. I do think at home versus Penrith, it is a good matchup for them with the Penrith outs. And then he's got the Bulldogs, and then he's got the Newcastle Knights. So I do like the 3 weeks of the Roosters a lot more than what I do for Manly. He's then got the Storm, which is a really tough one in round seven. And then he's got the Dragons on that Anzac Day clash. You know, it's a pretty good run for the Roosters in a small period here. And at 564K, you save 20K on it. Not much. He's got a worse base, which people will point out. But he's got goal kicking as well. And if you put the goal kicking on there, his base and his floor is better than what Luke Brooks is. So, you know, he's going to be less owned for sure. I'm taking a punt on Sammy Walker. How do you feel about those couple of options?
I started with Sammy Walker, and I've really liked how he's been going. I think if I didn't, I'd be very tempted by him. Last week with the 56, yeah, two tries, but no line breaks for any of those. If he probably played on the last 30, Roosters put on points. I know Sandon Smith was great, but Sammy Walker, I believe, could have gone close to a ton. He would have got those points for kicking the goals. And, you know, I like to think that he would have got involved for at least one of those tries. He might have. So the fact, realistically, you know, he didn't get to play that full 80 is why he might have lost 35K. Has another high-ish break even, but I just see a big game and a big score coming, like a game where he completes the full 80 minutes. I don't mind him. And, yeah, the fact that, you know, we were worried that he might not even play this week, and then, you know, common sense prevailed and they downgraded that charge. It's just such a good price for him. I guess I agree with your takes on Hines. Brooks, I think last week was the week to jump on. Maybe DCE, but I feel like they're just giving a lot of the ball to Olokoloatu, and then at the same time, Brooks is controlling a lot. To me, I'd wait a week with Cleary if I could, and reassess next week and jump to Jerome Hughes. Because, you know, next week we might get a bit more of indication. You can have a look at another team list. The Panthers on their Panthers page do like a West Fund injury update, and their physio guy there is excellent. Gives lots of updates. I know they're going to try not to give too much away, but with the bye only 1 week off, I'd be very, very surprised if we see Cleary. So I think even for a 2-3 week play, you could jump to Jerome Hughes, and then, you know, there's a world where Nicho Hynes might continue to shit the bed and you could jump off him. But mainly because the Storm's draw is going to open up too. Like, to me, the only clear option that I see is Jerome Hughes. But yet again, it's hard for me to fully put myself in your shoes because I'm not in that position, having Hines and Walker in my halves at the moment.
Yeah, and I don't have Cleary either, so I'm pretty blessed there as well. But I can't get around Luke Brooks when you're so, you know, to me, the flaws of these guys with Walker and Brooks, and that's throwing out the fact that, yes, Walker does have an injury history and stuff, so he can get hurt. Okay, fine. But throwing that out, if they both play 80 minutes, I do think that the flaws are basically the same. Like, they're pretty similar in their flaws. And the upshot of having Walker is that he's only a few percent owned at the moment. Like, Brooks is like 32% before trades this week. Like, Brooks might be 40 plus percent owned, which is absolutely insane. So if you think that Sam Walker can just about match him, then it's almost a must move to go that way instead, because if he ends up going over the top of him, then you've got 10, 15 points of value over the masses there, just on the ownership potential. So I think that's the biggest selling point with it. But the fact that he's got the goal kicking as well sells me. You mentioned Hughes. I think that's a really interesting option, and it is another different strategy that you could employ. The Storm come out of the bye and hit the Broncos at Amy Park and then the Bulldogs at Amy Park. The Broncos are looking pretty weak at the moment, so that's a pretty good double there. They go away to the Roosters, and then they've got Souths and the Titans. And Souths and Titans actually now looks like a pretty good double matchup there, the way Souths are going and the way the Titans are going. So the Storm, pretty good shout, 42 and 88 points his first 2 weeks, Jerome Hughes. DCE, the last one we'll mention. I actually looked at Deleterium's first, believe it or not, because I had all this money to spend, and I remembered all the stats from the preseason that DCE normally starts the season off on fire. So, I mean, last year he was averaging 71 points in his first 10 rounds of footy, and he does that pretty consistently in the last 3 years. This year, the first few games, 47 average, very un-DCE-like, and his base has been putrid. Now, he's playing the Dragons this week. I think that this is a bit of a big balls pod territory, Mikey, but I will go out on a limb and say, out of the options we've spoken about, not including Hines, I think DCE may very well outscore all of them this week against the Dragons because he's due that bigger game. So at 700,000, 137 BE, yeah, the numbers don't stack up. But on past performances and the matchup, if you want a pod move, I think that he's got the pedigree, doesn't he, where you have to say, look, he's an option.
He has the pedigree, but obviously they have Brooks this time. And that's kind of what's worrying me in a sense, kind of like the Trindle factor with Hines. Not to see him have a big one yet, and the big break even would be enough to scare me off him. But I see a world where if you have the kahunas to do it, it could really work out. But yeah, yet again, I just compare that to wait a week, reassess, grab Jerome Hughes next week, or hold on and I don't have to worry about getting back to Cleary. Because that's the thing with a guy like Cleary, at least with Tino, you know, you don't have to get him back. He's out for the year. But with Cleary, you know, if you're jumping off, you've got to jump back on. So yet again, if you've gone down to a guy, use the money to upgrade elsewhere. If your second halfback spot, like let's say we got Sam Walker, he doesn't end up doing too well. He maybe goes up to maybe 600K. We've got to find another 280K minimum to grab Cleary when he comes back. And he could come back for a nice run and you're going to be sweating bullets trying to get him in. So I guess that's the other complexity to the strat chat.
It certainly is. I'm going Sam Walker myself. I'll finish off by saying buy a different position. I think this is a really good option. And I'll tell you what I mean. Over 22% of super coaches still own Drew Hutchison, and all of them just about are playing him at centre. He can go into your halfback spot. I would be 100% selling Nathan Cleary or Mitchell Moses, moving Drew Hutchison to halfback. The Bunnies match up at the moment. Like, and if he's your second, right? Because obviously, you know, a lot of teams have Hines and Cleary as a combo. Like, you could reserve him or you could not even play him and just move him as a placeholder to halfback, sell a centre wing later on and get Cleary back that way.
Yeah, the only problem with the Hines-Hutcho combo, if that is what your combo is going to be, is the Sharks are on the bye next week. So if the Sharks are on the bye next week, and mind you, the Bulldogs play your guys, the Roosters, the week after, that means you've got to play Hutcho against the Roosters. That's what makes me not like that strategy, just to play devil's
advocate. I wouldn't like to play him versus the Roosters. That's a very good point. Into it,
assuming you have Nicho Hines.
It could also be a placeholder one, though, right? Where you could, because you've got to break him to 13, probably scores pretty well this week. You've already got 23K out of him. You get like another 30K out of him this week. You could just sell him next week and reassess what options there are.
Yeah, have the money to do so. If you could somehow make sure you've got a plan to get money next week, you could then go Jerome Hughes, but you're going to need a fair chunk of cash to do that. But always, yet again, stay one step ahead and the very next week you'll give yourself options.
Tino, second most traded out player. It's interesting with him. Payne Haas is also there as well. So with these two guys, like if you own both of them, you are cursed. But front row forward options, it's been spoken about forever. There isn't many good options for these guys. It's basically those two, and then we've got a third alpha front row before it drops off, and that is Fenua Blake. Fenua Blake's very popular at the moment. Mikey thought that he was going to drop off a bit. He hasn't. He's gone 103, 50, and 77, and his minutes haven't even really been there. He's only played 55, 52, and 49 minutes. So I mean, Fenua Blake has been super impressive. I didn't expect him to be worth the price tag, but he's 750K. He's actually got 102 break even, but I mean, that doesn't matter too much. The Warriors don't have a buy to around 13, so he's sort of a set and forget instead of a Tino or a Payne Haas. So I do think that he's a good option. It has to be said, 2 out of these 3 weeks, he scored a try. And the 1 week that he didn't score a try, he scored 50 points on the nose. 52 minutes a game is 8 minutes less a game than what he was getting last year. And his minutes the first 3 rounds have been pretty consistent and not affected. So if he's got a role that's 8 minutes off his 60 minutes per game last year, that could be a bit of an issue with the scoring and to pay up for that. Are you someone, if you owned a Tino or a Haas, that you would just go straight across to Fenua Blake as the next best option?
I'd definitely consider it. I've got one super pod that I would probably be tempted to go to, but before
I've got the super pod too. I wonder if it's the same one. This is going
to
be exciting.
I feel like it might be, but I feel like before I get to that, the thing is, if you've started with a premium option front rower, I'm assuming that's the way you like to play and that's a setup that you kind of have. So it would make sense to go to a guy like AFB and you go, surely he can't keep scoring tries. But I thought that all last year and I was proved wrong most weeks and not. So I feel like if you like it, go for it. But it's going to be from the West Tigers. Very good price. I'd like to kind of make money with it to then upgrade a centre wing. I really like a Toikamanu. Is that your one, Barnsley?
It isn't. I've got a different one.
It isn't? Oh, nice. Well, Toikamanu, this is the Tigers. Is actually, call me crazy, but there's a lot of Tigers that this is obviously the first game that they're going to go up in price. I think the price is kind of right if you want to make other moves, and his minutes have been fairly good. He got 61 last week and the week before 54, you know, churned out, you know, it was 44 in the first week, but 67 the week after. So I'm kind of, I'm tempted to go. It looks like, you know, we've always just been waiting for him to kind of get his minutes. So kind of like him, and I also like Fenua Pol too from the same side. So they're the two guys that I'd kind of look at if you had a bit of a, you know, wanted to do a risky move.
Yeah, a lot of people are talking about Stefano. I can't quite get around it, but I can see it working. A couple of little concerns that I have with him, because we've only seen 2 games of the West Tigers, not 3. We've just got that 1 game less sample size on these guys. And the minutes, I'm just not sure will stay there. They did have, I think that they had one injury at least last week. Is he going to keep playing 56 minutes? Like, if he is, like, that's great because he needs the minutes. Because the other thing that's a worry for me is that owning him before, he has been a bit of a plodder. He seems to have these games where he can bust out like 5 tackle breaks and an offload, and then he goes like 2 games and doesn't have any. And I found it really frustrating in the past because obviously, you know, last year he scored 48 points a game in 46 minutes. So it was just always that sort of 40s territory, and he didn't go 60 plus very often either. So I am a bit scared of him, but in saying that, he's a young bloke. They obviously believe in him. If Benji's going to pump into him mid-50s in minutes to 60 minutes a game, then he's going to be a good buy at sub-500. He's got a 39 break even. So, you know, he's going to make money probably this week. And if he keeps going, I don't mind it. But my guy is totally different. He 100% classifies as a big balls pod. 100%. But with the big balls pod, there's got to be some hope that there is some really good upside that you can tap into that nobody's grabbing. And it starts around in the Shire where I live. I'm going to just read out some names here. Dale Finucane has a fractured eye socket. Toby Rudolph is in a moon boot for 6 weeks or something. We've got scans for a calf strain or calf tear on Royce Hunt now. Braden Hamilei-Ioeli might be coming back this week, it looks like, but that only leaves one other true prop on the Sharks roster, doesn't it? Big Tommy Hazleton. And people are going to laugh about this.
Oh, no, that's out of the box, man. Very
out. It is out of the box, but it's a big balls pod for a reason. He's coming off scoring 90 points on the weekend. It included a try, but you know what? He's the sort of bloke that kind of finds some tries and line breaks compared to other front rowers. He played 56 minutes on the weekend, okay? I know he scored a try for 90 points. He also had 57 points in base. And I have to think that he's named to start this week, and I have to think with lack of front row forward options, that 56 minutes is probably what he's going to get. And that was 57 in just raw base. And we all know he's got some tackle breaks in him and the occasional line break or even a try sometimes like he had last week against the Tigers. He's obviously got the bye the week after. So you need to have the right setup where you can play Henry that week in your second front row forward or something like that. But nobody will own him. He has a break even in single digits, and that 90 is going to keep rolling for a couple of weeks now. And obviously all those Sharks forwards are out long term. They don't have anyone else. They're going to debut a front row on the bench. So if you go back in the annals of Supercoach, Mikey, 2023, there isn't many times that Hazelton played many minutes. So it is not a sample size that you could put much faith into. 37 minutes for 38 points. Another one, 39 minutes for 53 points. So he's got that PPM where it's been 1.41 last year across 17 games, but obviously all in small minutes. He's sort of edged towards that sort of 40-minute-ish in games, but he's been able to maintain that PPM. Now, even if that PPM drops by 20%, you know, you're still talking, you know, 56, 57 points for a guy that's 400K, and he's going to be churning out a huge amount of work. So I know that I'm really pumping up the tyres for Tom Hazelton, but he's always looked really good to me. He's pretty young. And a lot of Supercoach is simply opportunity, Mikey.
Well, honestly, like now that you've kind of shown me that, I kind of prefer him a touch more than a Toikomanu. Also, at round one, he played 40 minutes and scored 44 at a PPM of 1.1. I don't hate it. The Sharks are absolutely decimated. They're decimated the fact that we actually get to see Kayla Iroh in center and they push Talakai to second row. Hazelton's just such a big body and he just seems to be able to find the line. And Sharks just love that. You know, Blake Brayley out of dummy half, short ball, front row goes over, and that suits Hazelton. So I guess getting a front row at 400K that has this upside, I think he could go on a little string of run of tries. I guess when you're planning trades, just the buy always scares me off. But I guess sometimes the buy scaring you off, you could miss the window because let's say, bang, he goes over again. You're going to have to fork out an extra 80K the week after the buy. And you probably go at that point, it's too late. All these other Sharks are going to come back. So I think it's kind of a move that I feel like if you're going to be crazy enough to do it, pull the trigger now. And I kind of like it if you've got no other problems and maybe as a third front rower that you can play now. Like let's say Ruben Cotter got ruled out, you can play Tom Hazelton this week, but obviously if things change, like, you know, next week you don't have to play someone like Samuel Hughes. So yet again, all this, you know, discussions will be like team dependent, but it's not a bad shout.
Well, it is 100K less than Utekumanu, so I mean there's that as well. Like if you're down on money, it's 100K that you're going to save. And I just, the injuries are fairly long term. Royce Hunt's probably the only concern, but like, this is my last point on Hazelton because I don't want to talk about him too much. Everyone will think I'm in love with him, but I, you know, he's probably my favourite non-star front rower in the league. He's never had much competition. The Sharks' front row forward stocks are really bad, and they keep starting these guys that just aren't very impactful. And I think that they've found that. Like Finucane just doesn't look like a first grader anymore. Royce Hunt, really, he's very strong, but he doesn't do a lot on the field. Hazelton always makes an impact. And this is the upshot with someone like him. Like, if he has a job starting at big minutes for 4 weeks, if he performs, and he is young, he's not 35 like he looks, he's only like 23. If he performs, he'll win that job because the other guys aren't really much at all. So he wins that job. All of a sudden, the Sharks, after their bye next week, don't have another bye for quite some time. Like, you've got him all the way to round 15. He'll play the first major bye in round 13. And if he's got the minutes, he should churn out 50s. It's one of those ones, Mikey, where look, you don't know what the Sharks can do. Maybe in a couple of weeks he gets thrown back on the bench again and whatever. That's the risk of these guys that are unknown. But there is the opposite where these guys actually make a name for themselves when they're young guns, get an opportunity and they run with it.
Yeah, look, I like it. I rate it if you need a front row, but I'd say by the injuries, you'd, a lot of people will have a lot of other different problems.
Oh, for sure. Do you reckon that there was anyone else that sort of caught your eye as a front row forward replacement for these Haas and Tino owners? I know Liam Henry, he's a popular Penrith boy. He's just gone up 48K. People have talked about starting him and bringing him in. He's got the -7 break even, so I do think it's a good trade. He's got 55 on the weekend. I just don't know about starting him. He's still only got the 42 minutes on the weekend, which was a nice uptick, but as his second front row forward starter, can you do it?
I don't think you could do it every week, but I guess I was actually, before you mentioned him, I was going to suggest if you didn't have him, I'd probably bring him in. Like, I knew he was going to be a gun. He's got such a high work rate, and yet again, no sign of Fish. The Fish injury is probably going to be like seeing K. I've heard, like, it's just a week-to-week kind of prospect, and they're not really sure how to deal with the injury, like, or really, realistically, everything about what it is. So I think while he's out, the minutes are going to continue. They seem to favour him a bit more over Eisenhoof. Seems like he could handle the extra minutes. Personally, I think while Fisher-Harris is out, you could safely play him, but you need a backup plan when Fish is back because you'll go back to the bench and get your 30s. Personally, this week, I'm thinking of starting him as my starting front rower, this is another strat talk here. Personally, I'm a Ruben Cotter owner. If he doesn't play against the Broncos, I would then have to play Sam Hughes. So by playing Liam Henry and putting in reserve on Ruben Cotter and maybe dropping a Joey Lussick, it might get me out of trouble. And if I can get a score around 50 from Liam Henry, that could be like another 15 points more than Lussick if he doesn't get any try involvement. So I guess that's another way to look at someone like Liam Henry, especially with both, you know, Cotter and Terrell May. Well, yeah, the Terrell May one's a bit interesting. Look like, and I heard reports that he might get injured, but then he's been named and you've heard nothing from the Roosters. So hopefully no smokes and mirrors there, but at least Roosters play the first game.
Yeah, I heard that he pulled up fine and they weren't worried about it at all. And they've even named him to start. So, I mean, because it's the first game, like, I think if you don't own May, and 39% of super coaches do, I'd still have him as a number one target. Because, I mean, if Collins is out 4 weeks, which is a higher end of what he might be out, that's 4 weeks of May starting and maybe getting sort of minutes in the 50s for sure, just about. So you're probably getting 60 plus into scoring. And he's still only 475K. So, I mean, he's the unsung option because a lot of people own him. But if you don't, then I really like him for people to
have
bring
a big game against his brother this week, you know.
Oh, for sure.
We're talking about how much they want to play together, but this week they'll be playing against each other. So watch both the Mays have a big game. Looking forward to that. I know one's a prop and one's a center, but the fact that they're, you know, against each other, I think, you know, they'll both be playing the best they possibly can.
What do you reckon the odds are on a May on May head clash? You reckon we can get one of those?
Oh, I thought you were going to say a Terrell May and a Taylor May try. I even kind of like that one.
Oh, that should be a Picklebet special. They should have the double May.
Yeah, the double May, because I feel like Taylor May's try's coming, and Terrell's the kind of guy to have leaked a few tries through the middle, some piss-weak tries early on in the season. So it's not, you know, it's possible.
Well,
be nice odds for that one.
Reece Walsh, who did come off on the end of that head clash, is the third most sold player in Supercoach. Some people are also selling Pappenhausen just because he's on the buy and they're desperate and they need runners.
Crazy.
But look, we need to talk about fullback options. Who are you going to replace especially Reece Walsh with? And Teddy is the most popular one at the moment. Teddy's actually, out of all players, the fourth most popular traded. And that makes complete sense because Teddy is on fire. Savs did well to get him in to start the season. He nailed that one. 70, 103 and 134 over the last 3 weeks. He's got to break him to four as well, but he's still only gone up to 795,000. So he's almost made 100 grand already, but he's still got a low break even. Penrith, yeah, it used to be tough, but without a couple of players, I mean, Sorensen's a big loss for your boys as well. It's not just Cleary out. Like, Sorrow is really solid for you, and that's going to hurt as well.
It also hurts because Luai seems to struggle a bit more when he doesn't have a big second rower next to him. He struggled in round one without Sorrow, and like you saw it when Kikau first got out and until they eventually chucked Sorrow on there last year, he seems to struggle without one of those two at second row. So watch him struggle yet again. Obviously, they've got Mav Geyer on the bench this week, and I hope if Garner's not working out, we're not looking good in sack, get Mav Geyer on. He's been carving up the Reggies. I'm very excited to see him play. And hopefully, you know, kind of cement a spot over Garner, but I guess we'll wait and see. But I agree with you. I think Tedesco would be exactly who I'm going for. I've got a hot take for you here, Barnsley. Last week, I was going Ponga to Tedesco, decided an hour before kickoff, and instead got Talakai and Okalatu, which wasn't that great for last week. But, man, I'm kicking. Like, although Ponga did good, man, I'm kicking myself not bringing in Tedesco. It would have been a big move to up my score last week. And at the same time, the three-round draw that he now has is very appealing. And I can't believe that he looks like he's back to his old self. And I thought he was done. I ruled him out, especially in Supercoach. He comes in at a cheap price. I was giving Sav shit for getting him. Helped Savs get into a tough position, but then Savs sold him last week.
Oh, no. To Tom, I just remembered that
which was, which was absolutely crazy. You can't believe it. But he's still flying. But yeah, Tedesco, I think he's the number one option by far. VC, captain option. This week's pretty hard for captaincy options. So I think he's the perfect VC this round. But yet again, there are a lot of fullback options.
Yeah, there are. I think I said in the preseason, I was confident Tedesco was going to have a bounce-back season. I couldn't start him over some other options, so I didn't, but I did like him and I did like the value. One of the things that I mentioned, though, was the biggest question mark was he's creating stats. So when he's getting line break assists, when he's getting try assists, he just wasn't getting those anymore the last couple of years. And they'd really dried up, and he was actually really good at it before. If those came back, he was going to be really, really good. And coincidentally, the last 2 years, the Roosters haven't gone well. So it was always about if the Roosters can stop getting injuries everywhere, if they can actually start the season well, then he should be able to bump up those creating stats, and that should boost his scores really big. He's got 33 points per game so far this year in those creating stats. Like, people will look at the three tries and three rounds, but the creating stats are what is really pushing him. It's like 33% of his scoring is in that. So that's a big one for Teddy. I will throw up there Turbo, though. He's not owned by everyone. I don't actually own Turbo. And this was the week where I was scared not to own him. I didn't really care about the Eels game last week. But playing the Dragons this week, I was super worried. So I love Teddy. I love what he's doing. But I've almost got blinkers on about this week. If I had to choose between them, I'd almost want to go Turbo, because he's actually got the Panthers the following week. Then he has the Warriors, but then he has the Gold Coast Titans. So two out of the next four are real danger games for me not to own Turbo. Against the Dragons, he's got a top score of 167, and he's got an average of 79. Both are pretty high up there, even though Turbo has basically blitzed everybody. So what do you reckon about Turbo? If you don't own him, where do you rank him for the buy-in?
You bring up a good point too. I guess if I was in a similar position, I'd wait up, and you're right, this is the scariest week not to own Turbo. He already, the other thing, the flip side is, as I said, it's a pretty desolate round for captain options, but not if you own Turbo. So he'll be heavily capped. He's already in 10%, he's been captained by, which also scary. If you don't know your captain, man, you could be backpedaling hard. So I guess maybe match up alone and... You know, you might. He's been one or two attacking stats off a massive score, and look at last week where he got it denied. But at the same time, for a similar price, like the Tedesco Tom chat's hard, because Tedesco's free round matchups are good too. So, and if I compare the two of them, who's more informed? I'd say Tedesco by touch. But then again, Tom plays Penrith next week, and he could have, if Cleary's not playing, it could be the same kind of advantage Tedesco gets. So it's definitely, I think the fullback positions, it's definitely a big headache. But I think if you don't know them too, they would be your biggest trade-ins for Reece Walsh.
Yeah, I agree. It's out of those two. And I would actually lean Turbo, because, and I'd love to get Teddy in, but I'd lean Turbo just slightly because of the Dragons and Titans, two out of the next four games. That's a real worry. I will throw one smoky in there before we move on, and that is Scotty Drinkwater. Been waiting for him to come good. I was very confident in holding him. He's a pod player. He's only 7% of the teams. He's coming off 105-point outing against the Dragons. Coming up against the Broncos, which, you know, normally is pretty tough, but I don't think the Broncos are tough at the moment. And I just have to say, I looked ahead to this game, Mikey, and it was a couple of weeks ago when the Broncos played Souths, and that first half is one of the worst games of football I've seen in years. And I was just watching it going, both of these teams are going to get absolutely creamed by anyone that can actually play football. And the Broncos, with the outs that they have, I don't care that Reynolds is back. They're still going to have no Walsh. They're still going to have no Picura at the back row. They're still going to have Haas out of the forward pack. I look at that as a good matchup for Drinkwater this week. And then he has the Gold Coast Titans the following week. So the next couple of weeks are actually pretty big for a 7% owned fullback that's coming off 105-point outing as well.
Yeah, I'm a Drinky owner. I love Drinky. They're the only team undefeated at the moment. We had so much chat on our podcast of through the Cowboys and saying that we think it'll be a comeback year, and a lot of us loaded up on a lot of them, and it's been the case early on. This matchup, usually a tough one, usually a thriller, but now with the injury to the Broncos, I kind of agree with you, because the guys they've got replacing, they're looking very thin in the forwards. They've got young Jaden Hunt that's going to be on an edge, which they could absolutely pepper. Holmes is in such good form. They've got ways to score all the way around the park. And I feel like Drinky was only getting warmed up last week. Didn't even get a line break try. He's another guy that has a 150 plus in him. So if you're not going Turbo or you're a Drinkwater owner, I think he could be your best kind of, you know, solution to not owning Tom. And the best part about him is, yeah, as you said just before, Bundy's his ownership. So at the moment, you know, I had the VC last week. I didn't have the balls to captain him, but just kind of through, while I've got the app open, I'm really liking warming up to him as a captaincy option, and he'll be a pod captain too. So I think they're going to have a field day there, but the Broncos have shown resilience, but I'm just think there's a lot of attack in this side at the moment.
Yeah, and I think one thing that I think the Cowboys can struggle with is their forward pack can be quite inconsistent. And the great matchup with this is that they're going up against a forward pack that, is, without Peyton Haas especially, is just barely decimated, because that's a forward pack that really hinges on having their top two guys as a foundation. And if they don't have either of those guys, they're in trouble. So I do really like the Cows in it. A different question. On the top 10 most popular trades, we have Harry Grant going out. I mentioned some people are trading Pappenhausen because of the Melbourne Storm buy. I find this one really interesting. I didn't start with Grant, and I was really quite confident not to do that. I ended up starting with Robson. I don't want it to be a toot my own horn type of chat here, but Robson has gone 64, 63, and 95. He's had a raw base of 45, which is fantastic, and he's been getting tries just for fun. He's running the ball again, which I really like to see. They have had an easy draw, and that's why I don't fully believe in the Cowboys, but that easy draw is going to continue for a couple of weeks, in my opinion. So, I mean, Robson's got like a 28 break-even at 612,000. He's the forgotten man. I just wanted to mention the numbers for Mikey, but people are going Grant to Appy. And I've seen a lot of experienced super coaches go, no, I wouldn't do it. I just, you know, wait out the week or whatever. I'd 100% do it. Like, I think that it just frees up 150K now. Grant's losing money. I don't think Grant's looking particularly good, which I didn't expect him to. He's got the bye, and he's still got Munster out for longer term, it looks like, maybe for another couple of weeks still. I think that you just cash out now, and Appy's going to be a straight swap to him potentially in a month anyway, if you like the look of what Harry Grant's doing. So I don't actually mind Grant going out, but I know that it's a bit of an unpopular opinion. Some of the podcasters and shows actually are big on holding him.
Yeah, I did a crazy trade last week, which, yeah, I wasn't too happy with, but I think it's going to work out long-term. I sold Harry Grant to Lusick to be able to fund and fix me a gun center wing and also a gun second row, because I've been hating all the minis. And I think that Olakau'atu trade could pay dividends for me this week. So, yeah, and then when I realized after I'd done that and saw how poor Lusick has scored, I'm like, crap, I need to find a way to Coruscant. So that's what I'm doing this week. I'm bringing in Coruscant. I've loved the look of him. We've got a goal-kicking hooker, the only one at the moment, given Cam Smith vibes. I thought to myself, if I ended up sticking with that Tedesco trade last week, I would have definitely this week done Harry Grant to Coruscant, not even thought about it. That's 130K. With 130K, you could do a Tupanua or someone along that price, even a Piakura, flick Berber up to your second row, and then bring in the hammer. And you know, if you did like a Flano to Galvin kind of move, then I could see you'd have more than enough money. So I'm all for it. Like, I know you probably think you'll get to Harry Grant, but Coruscant showed us in the past that he can be a gun hooker. If you think the Tigers are on the up, they've showed that they have points in him. Is it just an anomaly? I'm not too sure, but unfortunately with Coruscant, if you want him and if you do not have a hook, I feel like you need to jump on now, because his break even is very low. It's minus 22 with a score of 67. He's going to make 75K. And you add in the goals to that and the fact that he's the center of their attack. Man, like, that's just what kind of went, oh, man, I really wanted to hammer all young this week. I was like, nah, I think getting a hooker and going Levi to Coruscant would be absolutely the best thing I could do long term. So you bring in Coruscant, I think it's not like just a little downgrade for now. You're going to hold Coruscant for quite a while. Their buy's done and dusted. And I'm not too sure how their buy draw kind of is, but if he doesn't get picked,
they don't have
for
a
the
buy
Blues,
until the big buy round of round 13. And then they don't have another buy until round 26.
Yeah, so if,
so I mean, it's very, very good if you want a long term Coruscant.
Yeah, so I kind of like it. I don't mind the Harry Grant to Coruscant. He's missing this week, especially if you're someone that's been hit with all these injuries and carnage. I think going Grant to Coruscant enables someone that can score you points while making money, like what we mentioned earlier in the podcast, is probably the perfect example of that. If you still want to make a points move this week and get a guy that can make some cash. But I guess the cash is kind of irrelevant, because I'm kind of picking him up thinking that I'll hold him for most of the year if he can continue this output. Plus, he's got the goals. If they're scoring tries, like that could be an extra, you know, 8 points minimum a game if he's kicking them, which so far he has been.
Yeah, I think the only slight red flags, and they're very, very slight, they're probably not even red, they might be like an orange tinge flag. He gave the kicking up a couple of times. He gave it up to Caesar on the weekend for a kick, and He also played 67 minutes on the weekend as well. So he's also scoring tries at the moment. So there is a few little flags there with his scoring. But in saying that, one of the biggest worries for me to start with Coruscant was his base last year was putrid. It was 33. And that was just so terrible. And I just thought at 31 years of age, how much more can he buck that back up? And he's got it up to 44 across his first two games. So I'm more buoyed by the fact that his base is 44 than I am with the tries that he scored in the attack. Like, if he's got a 44 base plus his goal kicking, he's great. And you're right, if you want to buy him, you've got to do it now. You can't do it later on. So I would 100% do that Grant trade a million times. I would 100% do Levi to him, which is a popular trade at the moment as well. He's a great trade in Coruscant. Let's keep on moving for the other traded ins. To me, as far as cheapies go, and even just any sort of cows, I've actually got Lachlan Gowan as my number one. I love the look of him. He's 204,300. I've seen some teams selling some guys that maybe, you know, you would normally hold and a bit 50-50. But to me, he's got a minus 62 break even. You do what you need to do to get Gowan in. I think he's basically a must-have for me, and I don't normally have a must-have, Mikey, but he's got a 35 raw base. He scored 72 and 49 in his first two first-grade games, and I can't see him being out of that side, and I think he's actually playable in your 17. So he ticks every single box, mate.
Yeah, I don't like throwing the word must-have, but I definitely think he's a must-have. Like, I've got Flanagan, which I know a lot of other guys do, you know, still has a pretty low break-even. I didn't even think twice about it. Flanagan straight to Gowan. I'll take the 50K on Flano because we've seen without attacking stats, he can probably only just make his break even of around 15 this week. But yeah, Gowan is tall, looks like a big footballer. And the fact that 2 weeks we've seen him switch Caesar and Sullivan and it hasn't been him. And the fact maybe Benji sees a bit of himself in Gowan and has just given him his opportunity. And the fact he just looks like a natural talented footballer. And yeah, I'm going to be playing him this week. I like his matchup against the Eagles with all their problems and injuries and just seems to get amongst it. So, you know, some bring someone in a bottom dollar 200K. We didn't have too many of them at the start of the season. And, you know, someone that you can potentially play each week, happy days.
Well, 5'8's also a troublesome position. And I'll throw it out there. I'll do the early crow in this one. I'm not going to say definitely, but I think that he's got an excellent chance of being a season-long keeper. And we see this sometimes where, you know, in the past when Angus Crichton was a rookie, when some of these other young guys, there was some Aaron Woods was a rookie back in the day, some of these guys actually become, instead of bottom dollar cash cows, they become keepers forever and you keep them for the whole season. Gowan has those type of vibes where he could do it, but he's already showing the numbers and stuff. And there is no sixers. Like, there's Dylan Brown and no one at the moment, and maybe Munster comes into the equation, but there's very few options. So he could end up being 600K and a guy that you just keep around because he could definitely average 60-plus, I think. Let's move along because there's a couple others we've got to hit on before we quickly go for captaincy options. Centre wing options are the other ones that are getting traded in, and there's four big ones, okay? The first one is the cheapest one, Blaise Talangi. I just have to say this is the one that I think is a mistake out of all of them. You know, he's been named in the halves. He was a six and a fullback before, so it's going to be fine. He's got a minus 28 break-even at the moment, and he's only 204,000. All of it sounds great. He's got job security because Mitchell Moses is out long-term. He scored 67 playing centre on the weekend in his first game this year. It all sounds great, Mikey, but it's not. It's only one game. He's got to go for three before he actually, you know, keeps the job as well, and you want to make sure that he's going to stay there because there's other options that the Eels have. If they have a bad week this week, he could get replaced, and he doesn't have any cash raises. There's no room for him in that back line because Mike Asebo's back. So he probably goes back to reserve grade if he gets dropped out of the halves. And he's not going to make any money yet. It's only one game that he's got under his belt. So this is a classic planning move ahead where you watch him this week and he should be one of your trades next week if it all works out. So out of the four centre wing options getting traded in heavily, I really don't like bringing him in this week.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. He did pass the eye test last week, looked really good, but he's got Dejan Arce breathing down his neck and also Ethan Sanders, who's been touted to take that jersey at some point. But yeah, I like it. I don't like it for this week, but I do like the look of him, but it's just risky because as I said before, like Tigers might, like they could put a bit of it, like imagine they put a score in him, then they're going to be blaming the halves, you know what I mean? So they're not going to drop Dylan
Well, that's the other thing too, actually. You say halves there too. Sorry to interrupt you, but you say halves. Like, Blake's telling you might go fine, but Dylan Brown might struggle heaps in the number seven jersey.
Yeah.
And true. Arthur says, oh, I can't have him at seven. I've got to put him at six. And I need a half like Sanders. It's a proper halfback. Yeah, that could happen as well.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So just wait a week. Like, if you had to do a center wing, and I've looked at him too, and I know Sav's picked him up too last week, go for Tarpe. If you need a bottom dollar center wing, jump on for Tarpe. Better job security. I know his scores haven't been too crash hot, but if your reasoning for getting someone that cheap is to then get someone like Coruscant or an upgraded guy like Hammer in that, I can see a world where that could work. Obviously, team dependent. So I'd prefer that move over Blaze if you really need a bottom dollar cheapie in your centre wing.
The other three, I think, are all big options. So we've got Dom Young, the Hammer, and Valentine Holmes. Dom Young's actually the most popular out of them. 640K in 3% of teams at the moment. He's got a minus 15 break even though because he just threw up 150 points. His first game of the year was quite impressive too, throwing up 50 points. So obviously we spoke about that Roosters run. He does have that revenge Newcastle game in a few weeks in round six as well. Against the Bulldogs, I'm pretty scared not to own him. Guy, anyone that can score tries like that and go 150 points, it's going to be a good buy. There's no way that I could talk anybody out of it if they were sold on him. I will just say, like, he can have some errors in him, Dom Young. And last year, at times, his work rate wasn't the best. Now, you look at last week, and he had a raw base of 33. It was phenomenal. His first game, it was a raw base of 20. And certainly last year, you know, his base was something to be desired. So if he wasn't scoring tries, it was a bit of trouble. In saying that, you know, he is a good buy. But I've actually got the Hammer above him, and I'm a Rooster supporter, and I still do. The reason that I do is because the Hammer has the Gold Coast Titans, the West Tigers, and the Broncos the next 3 weeks. I think that's a pretty good three-week run, and particularly just this week. Like, when you're talking about a week that you want to be aggressive, like, if you want to be aggressive and score lots of points this week to really move up the ranks in a week that a lot of teams are going to struggle, who's playing the Gold Coast Titans? It's the Dolphins. So that's the guy that I'm picking. 600,000. He's the cheapest out of the three. He's got a break even at 10, and he could very well make a 100K in the next 3 weeks. He doesn't have a buy until round 14 as well. So you can actually hold him until round 14 and get the first big buy if he doesn't play Origin. Obviously, he probably will, but he's got a good run in there as well. Needs the tries against the Gold Coast Titans. He could have 5 runs and 5 tries, and that's fine about his work rate. So I'm all over him myself. Holmes is the other guy, though, and my only issues with Holmes is 108.54, 144 points. That's massive, but it also meant that he went up a lot of money in his $815,000. I just think that somebody could get two guns in centre wing instead of one if they went for, say, a 600K Hammer and someone else as opposed to picking Holmes, and that's really the only, you know, difference between them for me.
Yeah, that's right with Holmes, but then we spoke about the Cowboys run just before, and then I could understand why people are doing that. When they first come in, I was getting the Hammer. I set up money this week, so I could go the Hammer. And then after realizing with a boost, I could get Corus out of Levi and fix up the hooker spot, I've changed. Not getting him this week, I am worried. I do prefer him over Dominic Young, 40K cheaper. And more so, he's playing fullback and he's so evolved. Involved, like, he played such a crap game round one but still managed to pull points. And after watching the Titans last week and the fact Tino's now out and they're going to be lacking leadership, and yeah, Jaden Campbell might be back this week, I'm just looking at him going, this is a team that you can target week to week for people to play against him. And when I first brought him in, I actually had the armband on him. Oh, I know that might talk huge because maybe devil advocates here, have a look at his scores where he doesn't have as high of a ceiling as you think. But this week against the Titans, I think this could be his highest score he's ever scored, Supercoach. And it really worries. 600K with a break even of 2, already owned by 19% of sides, brought in by just as much as Dom Young this week, 7,000. You can be sitting up there. But yeah, I think he's the pick of the bunch. But it's definitely a good week to bring in a, you know, a center wing. And the fact that you can grab like a third fullback and, you know, you pretty much sit Hammer there all year, I guess. I reckon he'll play Origin. I guess if he's going to go well for you in Supercoach and play really well in NRL, he's probably going to get picked in Supercoach. Picked in Origin. So I guess that's the thing there. So, but in the end of the day,
well, do they try and throw, you know, make Ponga a center so they can accommodate Walsh at fullback?
They,
you know,
they definitely could do that, but I'd say if the Hammer is going to work out, just like, don't be bringing him in just because he's going to play that first bye. I guess that's one thing Dom Young has over him. Roosters play the first two bye rounds, and that's also what would be handy. I know Dom Young could get injured before that. But if I was choosing between the two and go, oh, wait, Young's definitely, if he's not injured, he's not going to play Origin. So he's going to get me the first two rounds. That is kind of when I was deciding between the two that made me look a little bit harder at Dom Young.
Mm.
And I know what you said with his worker, but he's just going to score tries for fun. And we're bringing in Sammy Walker. And if we imagine Sammy Walker's going to do a good job, all that kind of stuff, then I think Tedesco's going to continue doing good. That's only going to benefit a guy like Dom Young who... I think could, you know, the Roosters love that side. I reckon he could go up for the leading try scorer this year if he stays full fit and has a full season. I think he'll be the leading try scorer.
Oh, I think he can too. And it's not, I don't want to sound like that I don't like him as an option. I do. I just think that it's more about the other guys, how good they are as well. Like, I think Valentine Holmes is the best one, but the money is what evens it up and brings me over to the Hammer. But Valentine Holmes is only 12% owned, whereas the Hammer's 19%, and that doesn't include, you know, the ownership that'll be after the trades are finished for the week. So there is that to consider too. Oh, all three of them are great. Like, if you could imagine if you could boost and use your three trades to get all three of those guys in via duels, like move Hutch for Cleary and stuff like that. Like, that would be insane. That would be a massive, massive haul.
I think even getting two of them, even if you could get two of those guys, as you said before, if you manage to get three of them, I don't know who you're dropping to get that much money, but getting to a 600 and a 640 gate, it's possible, especially with Burbo in your side. You could sell a second roller to get
a lot of options. I'm going to go Hammer, but geez, I'm worried about Holmes, and I wish I owned Dom Young because he's a Rooster and he can score tries for fun. The forgotten guy that's not in the top 10 most traded in for the centre wings is Ruben Garrick, I think. 11% ownership, not quite a pod, but he's got 99, 54, and 92. And he's got the Dragons this week. So if you're looking for immediate gratification, he's got a good matchup himself. And he's in a few weeks, like we said with Turbo, he's got the Gold Coast Titans. So I think that he's shown some really good scores at centre with the goal kicking. And it's not like Manly been scoring like heaps of points or going phenomenal. They've been going okay. But he's just been a part of it a lot. And I think that playing centre last year helped him out. Like, I think that he's sort of really comfortable there now. He's got a 34 raw base. He's got a 50 base attack, and then he's got the goal kicking on top. Like, he's got a 60 floor pretty much when you're looking at those stats. So 753,000, he's cheaper than Holmes. He's more than what the Hammer is. He doesn't have a good break even, and he's the only one out of the three that doesn't. Maybe he's the forgotten man out of it with the popularity of the other three.
As you said before, you can't really talk down any of them. So I guess just this is a perfect scenario of trust your gut.
Do need to take the quick breaks, and this time it's to talk about oneworldcourier.com.au. You can go to oneworldcourier.com today. If you own a business or you just work for a business that has a lot of shipping needs or even a small amount of shipping or courier needs, then One World Courier are your people to talk to. They are an Australian-owned company. They provide fantastic service. And what they are is an actual platform that compares the market for all your shipping costs and everything. So if you want to have a look at shipping overseas or domestically, no matter how big or small for your business, they've got you covered. You can check out what the best rates are or what the best service is and pick that one, and they'll organize it for you. And they'll also watch it from point A to point B as well to make sure that you get the best service and whatever you're shipping gets there unscathed and quickly. So oneworldcourier.com.au, if you jump on and sign up today, you've got a spot there that you can say how you heard about One World Courier and just pop all stars in the cell there where you can write. And that way they'll see that you come from the podcast, and they'll actually give you a great rate to start off with as well, so you can save straight away with them. So oneworldcourier.com.au, go jump on there today for all your shipping or courier needs. So we're getting a machine gun like we've never done before through TLT. We're not going to spend much time on it because we had to do a real big unpack on the injuries and the options for those guys. The Roosters Penrith first game, James Tedesco scored 29 and 63 last year in the Panthers game. So nothing to write home about at all. 29 and 66, sorry. And it's the third worst average he's got, third worst as far as high scores go. All the numbers are bad reading, but this is a different Penrith side. So I do think that you can go the VC depending on who your other fullback is.
Yeah, great.
The Rabbitohs Bulldogs, I don't really think we've got much in this one aside from Luttrell. And look, it's hard because Luttrell has such a good record against the Doggies. So do you go, look, the back's up against the wall, This is when Latrell sometimes fires. He's got a top score of 146 versus Dogs. That is, what, his third best score that he's ever scored. He can just throw it on him this week and kick goals and souse it back. Only the second game, mate. So certainly if you're a Latrell owner, I would consider the VC. I think it's a bit too brave to go to C.
Yeah, and maybe in that game too, another one that we'll talk about centre wings before, Jacob Carraz, 635K, 2% of sides, break even at 22. He's going to be forgotten with all those other big options, and I really like this matchup for him against the Rabbitohs.
Big call. I like that as well. That's a really nice one. I think that they've been waiting for a matchup like this for Carraz. Brisbane Broncos versus the Cowboys. I already showed my hand with Scotty Drinkwater. You know, they've got Tristan Saylor starting, which is fine, but then they've got Jaden Hunt starting, Fletcher Baker starting. It's just not a great starting side that they've got compared to what they normally have. So Scotty Drinkwater might be my vice-captain. I'm pretty sure that he will be. So I'm going with that one. I see him as a good option, but obviously it's a bit risky because these Broncos, Cowboys ones, like there's an insane amount of these games that end up in 1 point as differentials, isn't there? So there is that local derby sort of thing.
Yeah, agreed. I've currently got the armband on him and I think he can do a good job. I'm also just, I keep going the safe route behind and it keeps burning me. So I guess kind of try and make a move with Drink, even if it is close. We've seen a lot of high scoring close ones. So let's hope he can do a good job because I really want a captain over 80.
Femi Fuiaki is going to be the cheaper secondary forward option that people are forgetting about because they've got to put out fires, but he's only 320K. With a good break even and good job security at the moment and running at the Broncos' edge there. Like him in this one quite a bit. The Dragons and the Seagulls. Now, this is a big one. Okay, this is the one that I'm scared about. If I own Turbo, forget about what I said about the other fullback options and the other vice captaincies and whatever. I'm captaining Turbo in this.
100%.
100%. Yeah.
That captain picks himself. Yeah, that picks itself.
It's so scary.
Yeah, it's scary, but... Yeah, I'm trying not to think about it, Barnsley.
Titans, Dolphins. I don't think we can look at this one, so let's move on. I'm just going to throw out there that David Fafita is in jersey 18. It's going to be a big watch on what happens there. And if you own Keenan Palacia, he's been a dud, but I'd be holding him and playing him and seeing what he can do as a starting number 10 with those extra minutes. New Zealand Warriors versus Newcastle Knights. Right, so... talking about big balls ones, Kalen Ponga ended up with an 87 last week, and he still only had the one line break try assist as well, mind you. I do think he could score well in this one. There's going to be some owners, Mikey, that might have Kalen Ponga and not have a Turbo there, for instance, and certainly Drinkwater's not highly owned. I said last week, I think that he was a bit of a dark horse captaincy option to bounce back. He would have been a good captaincy option, scoring in the high 80s and almost hitting 90 plus for the first time. It is away in New Zealand, but I still think that this is an option if you're a bit desperate, especially towards the end of a round.
Yeah, I don't mind the Ponga shout. Looked a lot better with Cogger. Obviously got him more involved, which is kind of one of the main reasons why I really wanted to hold him when they made that switch. Important to note that Jackson Hastings looked really good in reserve grade last week, like 6 try assists. So I wouldn't be surprised if he takes his spot eventually. But yeah, this could be one that kind of works out captaincy-wise. But yet again, like if you've got like someone like Drinky or Turbo or Tedesco, you know, I'm going to prefer to have something on one of those other ones.
Oh, 100%. It's going to be... It's a scary ride with Pong with this one because his floor can be quite low compared to those other fullbacks. So you could be risking quite a bit. The Raiders and the Sharks, now they're the second last game, but they're the last Sunday game because we have the Easter weekend with the Monday game. I am going to go crazy here. People are going to think I'm nuts, but I'm going to consider riding Nico Hines' captaincy here. I've got some really good vice captain options earlier in the week. I've got some really easy loops I can do. And I'm considering it because Nico, yes, he has not performed, but against the Raiders, he still put on scores before Mikey. And last year, he missed the first game, but the last game of the season, he put up 127 points on the Canberra Raiders, and that's not even his high. He's actually put up 138 on them before. He likes playing the Canberra Raiders. So a lot of people will be scared off. He's going to have very low captaincy options. Maybe it will blow up for me, but we see it time and time again, the whole rugby league fairy tale narrative that a team's under the pump, they're playing bad, everyone writes them off, and then boom, they click back into gear, and here we are, and here is Nico Hines.
Yeah, it makes sense right before the bye, but I just can't do it. I've done it twice. I'm worried about Trindle. I'm worried, you know, they're missing a lot of forwards. There's a lot of like different cogs and stuff turning at the Sharks at the moment. So I think, you know, obviously you want to make the move and do it the week he goes big, but at the same time, I want to see it happen. I want him to, like, you know, repay my faith in a sense before I want to go there again. And more so too, because I see a couple other options that, you know, screw it, I'm already down and behind to try and claw back. I'd rather risk it for the biscuit.
Big watch on this one, Corey Horsburgh in jersey 19. I think he's going to be coming into the side. There was some quotes from Ricky Stewart saying he wanted Morgan Smithies to be the 13. So I'm looking for him to come in for Josh Papali'i at front row. But certainly you need to watch that space, because if someone like Smithies is going to be benched, that's going to take away from starting him in your 17 if you've got other choices.
Yeah, I wouldn't play him. I wouldn't even play Smithies. I think it's just too much churning. If Horsburgh's there, let's have a look. If his minutes drop, then, you know, he's looking like someone that you might need to sell sooner rather than later. So no, I won't be playing him this week.
Yeah, that's a good call as well. It is safer. Like, if you've got the depth and you can do that, not sometimes you won't, but certainly if you've got to play like an Ethan Strange in these type of matchups, you should be looking at trying to bolster your team now that you're going to make your three trades and you've got a heap of money to burn.
Yeah, I'm going to play Tupanua over him, to be fair, now with all those Panthers injuries. And so that's personally for me, but I know everyone else will be different.
I'm going to play Tupanua over him as well. I was going to trade Tupanua, and now it's Piakura out.
Yep, exact same. I'm not doing a second row of trade now, but yeah, I'm holding Tupanua and playing him.
So Parramatta Eels and Tigers is the last one on the Easter Monday. Really interesting one here, because, look, I think we've spoken about all these other fullbacks that rightly so we're ranking as the top few fullbacks in the game. Clint Gutherson's been the forgotten man this year. He just hasn't scored well. And he's had some goal kicking as well off and on from Moses. And he still hasn't scored well. He's only gone 66, 35 and 40. And this could go one of two ways here. And it's hard. You're not going to buy him over the other options. And he's got 147 BE at 728,000. But there's still owners there. And if you own him, this is a week where at Combank Stadium, with the full goal kicking for the game and a chance to maybe take some more playmaking responsibility, I would be really interested in what he's got cooking for this game. I reckon that if you had a backs against the wall sort of week and you really wanted to chase some of your points because you're behind, you could change your captaincy to a Gutho and hope for the best. But obviously the other thing that could happen, Mikey, is that they might really struggle without Mitchell Moses and without Cartwright there as well. And then all of a sudden it's a real hard slog and the Tigers could end up grinding them out for a win as well, like they did last week with the Sharkies.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that one as well. Yeah, there seems to be a big upset each round. So, yeah, get ready for one again.
Dylan Brown's an interesting one too. I've seen some people sell him, and this is probably the last point on the players for this game before we close up. But I was sort of around selling him potentially because he hasn't started the season very well. But I do think that he's gained some value with the 7 jersey and the amount of ball that he's going to get. Oh, I just think that he's like a little bit like Gutho. He's going to get to dominate possessions and stuff without Mitchell Moses there. So I'm kind of excited to have him at the moment and to hold him. But I have seen teams selling him to use that cash around and spread it around and get Galvin in.
Yeah, but then again, like we mentioned earlier in the podcast, there's just not many other options. And I guess a lot of us would have been down the path of, like, you know, we just got to hold him. But with this, it adds a bit of value. I remember in my chat yesterday with the Supercoach Experience, we had someone posted the stats of what his stats were without Moses. I don't have all of them precisely, but everything was up slightly. And up that slightly, sometimes a controlling factor is good, because there are a lot of times last week where if they did switch to him and he did get a try from it, like Lane drops so many, the more involved, if he sweeps and plays both sides, I think it's only going to help his score. I think he's another one that's got a big score just around the corner. And if the Eels are to get up this week, then I'm expecting him to be at the forefront of it. Although my tip is with the Tigers. I think the Tigers are going to upset the Eels this week.
Big one, big one. I'm not sure what to make of this one, but it's going to be a good game to have on a Monday, to have on our long weekend. Mikey, that is the podcast, mate. That is the round of carnage. But I think we got through it pretty well with a lot of good options for people. So thanks for jumping on board and chatting through it all with me again.
No worries, mate. Anytime. It's been a pleasure.
Awesome. Well, anyone that's after the podcast, you can find it everywhere, SoundCloud, iTunes, Spotify. You can also follow us on X, NRL underscore SC underscore All-Stars. Three major sponsors of the All-Stars podcast. We have Picklebet. If you want to put on some bets, get on there and jump on and sign up to an account today. Use All-Stars as your code. One World Courier. If you've got a business or you work for a business that has any freight or shipping needs, jump on there with All-Stars as your sign-up code and they'll give you some early rates. And also, lastly, Bonus Bank. Get onto bonusbank.com.au if you want to earn a side income, number one side hustle in Australia. They can show you how to beat the bookies. They can help you with all the promos and the bet matches. Jump on there and sign up today. You can do it for free or you can pay a monthly amount for some extra features. But that is the podcast. That is the round. I cannot wait for this Easter long weekend. I'm hanging for it. I'm hanging for some days off and I'm hanging to watch the footy. Don't know what I'm going to do with my side. I'm sure you guys don't either. But good luck to everyone. We'll chat all about it again next week.
Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get